Good morning. Welcome to our worship service here at Southeastern Church of Christ. Thank you, as Joey mentioned in his welcome, for braving the weather conditions. And I know that we're expecting a storm, they said, coming possibly this evening and continuing tomorrow and then again the rest of this week. It could be worse. We got a phone call from our kids who live in Tulsa, and they're expecting 15 inches today. And there was a public notice saying the city of Tulsa has to declare we have run out of sand and salt. And so it could be worse. It could be. Yeah, absolutely. Before I get into what I prepared this morning, have you ever been amazed by the Holy Spirit? I mean, he's done something and it's just, it's beyond comprehension. Now, I gave Joey, now I have to be honest, I gave Joey two sets of PowerPoint presentations this morning, because I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do. Last night, Joey says, which one? I told him this morning, he said, I've got you covered. I put both of them up there, so which one are you still deciding to preach on this morning? And I told him. And so I almost expect, because Joey is so good at what he does, that our songs and our worship and the flow of the worship and everything will fit just perfectly with what it is that I've given him as my topic for the day. But I didn't give it to Adrian. And it's almost as if Adrian either broke into my computer and got my notes, or he has some special gift that God has blessed him and him alone with, because what Adrian shared around our remembrance of Jesus around the table, even to the very text that I want us to think about this morning, is not the Holy Spirit incredible? Today, if you look at your calendar, today is Valentine's Day. And I have some mixed emotions this morning about sharing a lesson based upon Valentine's, because I know that Valentine's has some mixed emotions for some people. A matter of fact, I understand now that there are what's called non-Valentine parties on the 14th of February. They now have, you can now order cards to say, will you please not be my Valentine? That there is just some people who Valentine's just carry, there's even movies now about people who dislike Valentine's Day, and I understand that, but still, I want us to spend some time this morning thinking about that. Some of us think that Valentine's is just a plot between Hallmark and 1-800-Flowers to make money. There's maybe some truth to that. Here's the history behind Valentine's. In the 3rd century, the Roman Emperor Claudius was trying to recruit a large army. And he realized that so many young men refused to enter into the military. And so he came up with a very interesting way of doing that, because he found out that one of the main reasons these young men were not entering is because they did not want to leave their families, their wives, their girlfriends, etc. And so what he did is he outlawed marriage. He says, you can't do it. Well, a priest by the name of Valentine privately, in secret, was performing wedding ceremonies, knowing that if he ever got caught, he was doing it in secret, they would whisper the ceremony, because if he got caught, there was a prison sentence, and Valentine got caught and was thrown into prison. And those who appreciated so much the fact that, one, he was willing to risk his freedom and his life to demonstrate his support for them, and because of his belief in the fact that love and marriage and family is something to be celebrated, they would throw either written notes through the window of his prison cell or flowers through his prison cell. And that's how we got into the habit of celebrating and honoring love with flowers, chocolate, cards. Now, you have to ask yourselves, why is it that we give Valentine's? Now, I know exactly why I gave a Valentine's during elementary school. For about 4 years of elementary school, you get the parents, you get the box of 12 or 24 Valentines, and I would go through and make sure I picked out the very best one. Because for 4 years, I wanted Mickey Vogt to know that I thought she was special. And as much as a third grader could, that I really liked Mickey. And now we give Valentine's because we want to express to our wives or our husbands or our children or our parents the fact that, yes, not just on this particular day in the month of February, but I do love you. But what would happen, or what would the reason be behind when God would send a Valentine? Sometimes we spend a lot of time thinking about a Valentine gift or a Valentine card, and then there's sometimes when it's a last-minute choice. I was at a grocery store when we were living in Florida, and I went in on Valentine's was on a Sunday, and now I had already gotten my card. That's not where he's when I was in the store that morning. But I was in the store, and a guy reaches out, he runs by, and he grabs a card. He doesn't even look at it, and just grabs one off the shelf. Well, I saw the section he got it from, and he kept saying, I got to get this for my wife. I got to get this for my wife. I saw the section he pulled it from. It was for grandparents. And sometimes that's the way we do it, but that's not how God does it. God doesn't send the Valentine because it's an afterthought. God doesn't send the Valentine because he's, oh, I need to let these people that I created know that I love them. And so what I want us to think about this morning is, what would God's Valentine say? And Adrian, the verse that you quoted in John chapter 3 and verse 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And I like very much how one poet put it when he did it this way. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. There are various reasons we give Valentines, but I think there's three reasons why God does. And the first one is this. God sends a Valentine because he wants to tell us, I love you. Now, again, just like why we send Valentines, there's a couple of different reasons sometimes why we say, I love you. Sometimes we say, I love you because we're just kind of absent-minded about it, going, yeah, I love you. Or sometimes we say, I love you because we're afraid. I love you. Or maybe we don't even do it at all. There was a guy who, his wife came up to him after 20-something years of marriage and says, honey, why do you not ever tell me you love me? He said, I told you on our wedding day, and if it changes, I'll let you know. But that's not what God does. God says, I want you to know how much I love you. And maybe one of the reasons why that statement loses some of its significance, because how many times have I looked at Carrie and say, I love you, and then later on that day I said, I just love pepperoni pizza. And she goes, oh, so I equate with a double pepperoni with extra cheese, huh? But that's not the way God does it. As a matter of fact, I think Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3 says it well. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. Brothers and sisters, it is so important for us and through us for this world to understand that God's love for us is not based on an afterthought. God does not love us because he has to. There's no one that forces God to say it. There's no one that forces God to demonstrate it. God is not under any kind of compulsion to let us know that he loves us. My God does not love me more when I'm having a good spiritual day and love me any less when I'm not having a good spiritual day. There's nothing that I can do to make God love me more. There's nothing that we can do to make God love us less. And brothers and sisters, we have to think about that. That needs to be something that we hold on to, and that needs to be something that this world understands, that God loves us that much. Loves his mother, Adrian, to allow his son to die on our behalf. Loves us enough to put into practice this process that we can remember that sacrifice on a regular basis. That God took the initiative to demonstrate His willingness to fix a broken relationship that He's not at fault for breaking. That He provided for us a Savior before we ever knew we needed or wanted one. And to take it even further than that, my Bible tells me that God knew before He spoke into existence this creation that you and I are blessed to be part of, that we as God's ultimate creation, designed to bring Him glory and honor and respect, would rebel against Him, and that it was going to be necessary for His Son to die even before He made us. If it had been me, I'd have forgot all about you guys. But not God. He made you and I knowing before we were ever born, before He ever spoke this humanity into existence, that He was going to have His Son lay down His life to let us, a rebellious creation, know how much He loves us. You see, I think what's so beautiful about when God sends a Valentine, not only does He tell us that I love you, but He also tells us I care enough to send the very best. And brothers and sisters, Hallmark did not create that slogan. God did in eternity past. As a matter of fact, that's why I think Paul writes these words in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Indescribable gift. Brothers and sisters, this is a 1936 Mercedes-Benz 540K Roadster. And not too long ago, it sold for $11.77 million. Incredible, but not indescribable. And that's nothing. This is a 1967 Ferrari 275 GTR4. And at auction, one of these sold for $27.7 million. Incredible, but not indescribable. And if you could afford either one of these cars, you could afford this. This is car polish. And depending on what kind you need, car polish sells for anywhere between $2,800 and $10,000 a bottle. And guess what? You can order these online by using this computer. This computer, case only, costs $55,000. Incredible! But not indescribable. And one that really shocked me was this one. Now, there are some of you who are young, may not recognize what this is, but those of you who are my age knows that this is truly G.I. Joe. These little action figures now, This guy could beat up Ken. All right? And one just sold at auction for $200,000. Boy, you ever regret not keeping some of your childhood toys? Incredible, but not indescribable. Because advertising agencies spend hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars describing these things and others to such a point because they want us to buy them. These are not indescribable. But God's Son is. How do you describe mercy? Oh, I understand the definition of it. I understand it's not getting what I deserve. But how do you truly give full meaning to the word mercy? Or how do you describe grace? How do you describe eternity? I had one professor in college says, here, let me give you an illustration about eternity. If a sparrow would grab one grain of sand and fly 100 million light years into space and drop off that grain of sand and then fly back and grab another one and fly out and fly back. And by the time they moved the entire earth from here to here, one grain of sand at a time, eternity has just begun. But my finite mind cannot comprehend eternity. How do I describe the nature of the Son of God? I can't. But it doesn't mean that people haven't tried. And I came across this one. Perfect in Godhead and also perfect in manhood. Truly man of reasonable, rational soul and body. Consubstantial, coessential with the Father according to the manhood. In all things like unto us, without sin, begotten before all ages of the Father according to the Godhead, and in these latter times for us, and for our salvation, born of the Virgin Mary, according to the manhood, one and the same Christ, Son, Lord, only begotten to be acknowledged in two natures, inconfusedly, unchangeably, indivisibly, inseparably, and the distinction of natures being by no means taken away by the union, but rather the property of each nature being preserved, written in 451 AD. How many of you understood that? Neither did I. Why? Because our finite minds cannot put into words on canvas truly what it means for God's Son to be indescribable. But Paul says there is one reason why that indescribable gift was sent. In Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 6, he says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die, but God demonstrated His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What God wants us to understand is His love for us while we were still His public enemy. If the FBI of heaven has a most wanted list, brothers and sisters, yours and my name would be on the top of it. Yet while we were His enemies, God allowed His Son to die for us. He gave us the very best. And He says, "I want you to understand this one truth. My love for you is not conditioned upon you. It's conditioned upon me." That He loves me not because I've earned it. He loves me not because I've deserved it. He doesn't love me because I'm better than you or you're better than me. As I said earlier, there is nothing we can do to cause God to love us more or to love us less. Why did God send, and what happens when God sends a Valentine? He says, "I love you. And I love you enough to send the very best." And brothers and sisters, we would be well served if I just stopped here, we sang the invitation song, and we left, and you walked out of here saying, "Man, that was a great sermon." But there's more to it than that. Because not only when God sends a Valentine does He want us to know that He loves us and that He was willing to send the very best, but He also wants us to send one too. Craig, you and I did not receive the indescribable gift so that you and I could hold on to it and keep it to ourselves as some kind of public secret. Does my text tell me that God so loved Lyle that He sent His only begotten Son? Absolutely. Does God text that God so loved Frank that He sent His only begotten Son? Absolutely. Does God's Word say that God so loved Roger or Mike or Ray or Bruce or Alan or Krista or Don or Janet or Joey. Yes, it does, but it doesn't stop there. He says, I loved the world. And that means, brothers and sisters, that means it's my brothers and sisters. And over and over and over again, we're told, love one another, love one another. A new commandment I give you, love one another. But he also says in Mark chapter 12, love your neighbor. And in Matthew chapter 6, he says, love your enemy. Those who aren't like you. Those who don't dress like you. Those who don't speak like you. Those whose last names need a vowel because you can't pronounce it. Those who worship God and those who don't. Those who worship a God that's not called Jehovah God. Those who have a different skin color than I do. Find allegiance to a different political party than I do. Yes, God loves me. But God says, Lyle, I don't love you just so that you could hold it to yourself. How does the world know that we are his disciples? Jesus says, it's not because of the name on our building. It's not because of the frequency we take the Lord's Supper. It's not because we believe in the inerrancy of Scripture. And I think all three of those are important. But this world knows that I'm his disciple because I am willing to love you. And you're willing to love me. And together, we're willing to love our neighbors. And we're even willing to love our enemies. And how does the world know that we're his disciples? Because we love each other, if we're not loving each other in front of them. They may have done well in school, but they don't pass mind reading. God says, I love you. And I'm so willing to give you the very best, but I want you to send a Valentine's too. And that's why John writes in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16, the other John 3:16, this one happens to be his epistle. He says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And if he stopped there, this would be a whole lot easier. But the Holy Spirit inspired John to write, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. If any one of you has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need and has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in you? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, and I think I would put in there only, but with actions and in truth. Jesus tells his disciples, that verse that I just quoted, by this the world know that you're my disciples if you love one another. And then he backs that up in verse 34 by saying, I love you, love each other as I have loved you. So if John here is giving us the definition of true love, and even Mad Max in The Princess Bride understood that there's true love, there's nothing more important than true love except maybe an MLT. But true love, we have the definition here, is, are you willing to lay down your life? Put it in plain terms. Is there anybody in this room you wouldn't take a bullet for? Think about that. Because my Bible says that's how you know you love each other. That you love like Jesus loved. And how did Jesus love us? That he laid down his life for us. Now, I understand that there's some few mistakes that we can make at Valentine's. Guys, I hope that you did not believe it when your wife or daughter or sister or mom says, oh, don't get me anything for Valentine's. They did not mean that. I also understand that sometimes you can make a mistake culturally. I've had an opportunity on multiple occasions to teach at the Sunset School of Preaching's school in Donetsk, Ukraine. And I would go and spend a week, 5 days, 7 hours a day, teaching the marriage and family seminar that I started here last week. And at the end of one of those sessions, Wayne White, who happens to be one of my best friends, he and I would go to Ukraine together. Wayne says, wow, we ought to buy our translators a gift. I mean, these ladies spent 7 hours a day translating for us. And you imagine as fast as I talk how difficult that was for my translator. And he said, why don't we get him some flowers? If you've ever been to Ukraine, you know that this is not a lie. They probably have some of the most incredible flower shops, some of the most incredibly beautiful flowers I have ever seen in my life. And so he said, why don't you run and get some flowers for our translators? I said, okay. So I ran up to this flower stand, and I practiced my Russian as best I could. Adin, dva, tri, chetiri, four. She said, flowers. I said, da. She goes, how many? Chetiri, four. But two sets, dva sets of four. She goes, okay. And she wraps up these beautiful roses. I mean, these things are this big. She has a ribbon around them, and she writes something on the ribbon. I don't read Russian. So we go to class that next day, and I call my translator up and says, Natasha, I want to say thank you. And I handed her these roses, and the classroom broke into hysterical laughter because they read Russian and I don't. In Eastern Europe, if you want to tell somebody you love them by sending them flowers, you send them an odd number. 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, 11. You only send even number flowers to a funeral. My translators got a big kick out of it. My class got a big kick out of it. And they wanted us to take a picture of us standing next to these ladies with roses that said, rest in peace. My friend Wayne got one of those pictures of us standing with these two ladies with flowers that says, you know, you're dead. And he used it in the most beautiful illustration. Because you see, the world sometimes looks at us and says, you're dead. But because God sent us the most incredible, indescribable gift, because he loves us, no, we're not. We're not dead. I'm looking out at the faces here, and brothers and sisters, and those of you who are watching us this morning, I'm looking at the faces of people who are not dead anymore. Oh, at one time we were dead in our transgressions and sins. One time we were those enemies that Paul writes about in Romans chapter 5. At one time we were without hope and lost in this world, Paul tells the Ephesians. But not anymore. And the reason being is because God loved enough to send us a Valentine. And not just any Valentine. He cared enough to send the very best. And he said, that's not enough to just accept the gift. Are you willing to send one too? Are you willing to let this world know that they don't have to stay dead because God guaranteed there was a solution to the problem? And let them know that God sent a Valentine. And I love you too much. As my brothers and sisters, as my neighbor, as my enemy, I love you too much to let you die eternally. Oh, the flowers may say you're dead. Rest in peace. But that's not what the card my God sends me says. And brothers and sisters, that's not the card that the people outside of this room need to receive from us. Let's pray together. Father, sometimes my brain hurts as I try to imagine what you went through, knowing before you ever even spoke this world into existence that there was coming a time. And as Paul tells us, at just the right time, your son was going to have to die and be a savior for people who didn't even know what a savior was, much less the fact that we needed one. That gift is indescribable. And Father, to think that there is nothing that I can do to make you love me more or less, that it's not conditioned upon me. I can't earn it. I don't deserve it. We just sang the song Reckless Love. You know, Father, forgive our selfishness. But not just every year on the February the 14th, but every moment of our existence, you keep sending us Valentine cards. And we stick them in drawers. And we don't share it with others. Father, this morning there may be some of us who have been convicted by the fact that I'm not using the gift that I'm supposed to. And I need people to pray for me. There may be, Father, some who are in this room this morning or listening to my voice this morning who says, I'm tired of carrying around flowers that says, rest in peace. I want to live. I want to live eternally. And I know that's possible because the God that we tell them about loves them. And we love them. And it's more than just a slogan written on the wall behind me. It's a conviction that's written upon our hearts that we love you, that we love our neighbor, we love our family, and we love our enemies. Because you, Father, are asking us not to do anything more than what you did. Because you sent your Son to tell us that you loved your enemies. Move amongst us today. Help us, Father, to reciprocate as best that we can in our limitations the love that you have for us, to love you, to love others, to love our neighbors, to love our enemies, to love ourselves. And in doing so, Father, may you be honored, your name lifted high. You are given the praise that only you and you deserve, that you will be called wonderful and majestic and holy. And this is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Brothers and sisters, if we can serve you this morning in any way, let us know. As I mentioned last Sunday, there will be an elder and his wife waiting in the back if you want someone to pray with you. Maybe you don't want to come up front and ask collectively for us to do that, and I can understand sometimes maybe why we have that hesitation. I understand that sometimes in the back of our mind we say, if I start coming down this aisle, there's going to be brothers and sisters here who are going to go, uh-huh, I know, about time they responded. Do they really have... But guess what? Those of us who have appreciated the Valentine that God has given us doesn't think that. And we're here to encourage you. Whatever we can do, let us know as we stand and we sing the song that Joey has chosen for us.